Today we'll be reading John chapter 12, verse 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and called him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So, I've been a minister for over 35 years. What can I say about Palm Sunday that I have not said before? This is why we're having a play next Sunday. It's hard to come up with, like a Christmas sermon, it's hard to come up with some original ideas when you preach about the same event. My husband asked me, "What passage are you using to preach this Sunday?" And I said, "What else can I use? What other part in the Bible talks about Jesus coming triumphantly into Jerusalem?" Granted, it's repeated in the four Gospels, so you have some diversity there. But the church, it has been 2,000 years, and the church continues to remember this day. The church doesn't forget. The church doesn't get tired. For how many years have you had the children giving you palms and running around the sanctuary? And you don't get tired. Because it's always fresh. It's always new. There's something about it that always makes a difference. Always makes a difference. So let's take a stab at this. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. I want you to be thinking that he knows why he's coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to meet his destiny, his mission. He is coming to die. Palm Sunday is Jesus' hospice, in a sense. Jesus knows what's going to happen to him. And it's coming. There's no way to avoid it. It's coming his way. And he comes. He asks the disciples to look for a young donkey that has not been ridden by anybody yet. And sits there. And like a poor, humble king, rides into Jerusalem to the accolade of everybody. Everybody was excited. And John says why? Because they were testifying of Lazarus' resurrection. So everybody was excited. The show is coming to town. What is it that we're going to see today? Is he going to raise one of our dead ones? Is he going to heal all those who are sick among us? What's going to happen now? The people are thinking that. We know what the Pharisees are thinking, because in the last verse of this passage, we see them in the temple, always plotting, always wondering how to get him. And it's becoming harder and harder because the people are on his side. People are excited about Jesus. And Jesus sitting on the donkey, riding into Jerusalem. I invite you to a time of reflection now. Let us reflect upon this donkey, upon this entry in Jerusalem that is a symbol of humility on the part of Jesus. You know that the big kings, they rode on big horses, the best horses, white horses. Who among the women in this room was not a little girl reading stories of fairy godmothers and captive princesses and princes coming riding on a white horse? Yes. Mm-hmm. Not Jesus. He's not that kind of prince. He's not the one who's going to show his power. He's not going to show his riches. He's not going to show off. He's just there to share with the people. A humble prince. A humble God. He comes to teach us about humility and compassion. Why compassion? Because he is the prince of the people. He is the one who has been talking about the poor, the disenfranchised, the people in prison, the people who are sick, the people who are needy, the people who are lonely. Those are his kind of people. So if you have ever been one of those things in your life, you know that he can be your prince. He can be your prince. And this teaches us our own way. That's the purpose of all this. The purpose of all this is that we can learn from him. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus incarnate the Almighty God of the universe? So we could learn from him. We can learn from him. And in this Sunday, Jesus is giving us a lesson in humility and compassion. So we can act with empathy with a world that is suffering. So we can understand this empathy. And empathy has been referred to as the ability to feel with another person, feel what the other person is feeling. And that's kind of inaccurate because it's kind of impossible to feel what another person feels. Kind of impossible. Even in the same situation, two different people will feel differently. But what we can do is listen. Listen to the world. Listen to the community. Listen to the people around us. To be able to understand a little bit of what they're going through. Empathy, solidarity. The proof of empathy is solidarity. The proof of empathy is solidarity. So Jesus is exemplifying for us this solidarity because he's sitting on a donkey. All those people who were raising the palms and screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Those people, they didn't have horses, they had donkeys. They were the donkey kind of people. So what kind of people are you? Are you the horse kind of people? Or are you the donkey kind of people? And Jesus is teaching us to have solidarity. Solidarity doesn't mean that you have a high horse and we allow the poor and the downtrodden to come onto the horse with you. Soon that horse will die if you try to bring everybody who's on the fringes to that horse, on that horse. Solidarity means coming down from the horse and walk with the people where the people are. Be on the fringes where they are. Meet them where they are. That's true solidarity. Solidarity means that when people in the community are suffering because of something, even though you are not going through that, You're going to walk with them and stand by them in solidarity to show how much you understand, to show how much you care. We are a Christian church, and as a Christian church, we are called to care. Now, caring doesn't mean that when you are having dinner at your home, you talk about these issues and you chuckle and you say, oh, it's so bad. It's so sad. Being sad is not having solidarity or empathy. Doing something is. Being with them, walking with them, riding the donkey with them, that's solidarity. And that is social justice. Social justice will not be achieved by talking about it. And this is said by a person who's made her living through talking. But social justice is an action word. It's something we need to do. We need to do. We need to identify. So a little while ago, I was listening to some words that we say in our welcome about the Puyallup Ops, or the Puyallup, as you may know them better. We say in our welcome that we identify with them, that we uphold their traditions. And then I thought about our worship time, and I said, what are we upholding? What are the traditions that we have in our worship time that show us that we are in solidarity with the Puyallup? I don't know. I couldn't identify any. So I went to their website. And I said, we need to learn something about these people. And you know how it is. We all have our biases, our perceptions, our assumptions. And my assumption was these poor Native American people. Right? That's right. So I went to the website. I subscribed to the newsletter. So from time to time, you find in your newsletter, the one that comes on Thursdays by email, you will find some news about something they have achieved. This is probably the most effective political group we have in this area, because they decide to go for a cause and they stick to it for years until they see victory. They don't let go. They don't get tired. That's one of the characteristics of the Puyallup Ops. The other one is that they have a lot of money. Yeah. And they give grants. They give $1 million in grants yearly, every year, to nonprofit organizations, including some churches. So we are applying to a grant for our community breakfast. Now I can say truly that we are upholding their traditions. The second thing we can learn from this ride on the donkey is about renewal. How refreshing is to see a politician as Jesus was perceived by many. Right? He was going to be the one to free them from the oppression of Rome. He was going to be the one who would finally establish an equitable system. The Pharisees expected the Messiah to be the one to restore the old glory of Jerusalem. That's why they didn't think it was Jesus. How refreshing to see a politician who's humble. Have you ever met any? This is a year of election. That means this is a year of political campaigning. Don't you get tired of that? Yeah. Thank goodness at home we don't watch regular TV anymore. We only watch what we want from streaming. Because those political commercials on election year, man, they're deceiving, they're misleading, they're lies, and they show you no humility whatsoever. Very little empathy with what is important to you. And even when they talk about it, experience tells us. And when you get to a certain age, you become a little cynical, I suppose, about politics, yes. But experience tells me that every time I voted for somebody and elected, and that person got elected, I was left wanting. So, how refreshing to see Jesus riding on a donkey. Let us renew our own commitment to compassion in our own lives. Let us take this time to do that, to compassion, to justice, to inclusivity. There will be no justice until we all realize that we're all equal, no matter the accent that you speak with. No matter the color your skin shows, no matter the place on earth where you can have come from, no matter the church you go to or don't go to, we are all equal, created equal by God. But this is not an equality which aims to do away with important differences that we appreciate. It's an equality that keeps us equal as humans. How wonderful that God created us all so different and yet equal. Ask any doctor if inside the human body there is any difference, if we have different organs, or the organs are accommodated differently inside our bodies just because we come from here or we come from there. No, right? No. We were created by God equally. And yet, because for generations and generations we have walked in different places and have learned different things and have done different things, we are unique. Each one of us is unique. So why do we have that tendency and even obsession with labeling people? They ask me, you don't want to be called Hispanic, right? Because Hispanic is a despective term now. Well, these things change from time to time, you know. When I first came to this country, I became a Hispanic. I was a Hispanic. I assumed that, and I was fine with it. Okay, they call me Hispanic here. Big deal. But now it's bad. So, no, Hispanic is not the right term. So now they came up with Latinx. These are names that are given to us. I didn't choose that name. These are labels that are given to us because somebody thought it was more politically correct. Cool. It's a good intention anyways. Good intention. The reality is that if you ask me, I'd rather don't be labeled. I'd rather be who I am. If you want to call me anything, call me Liliana. Let us be renewed in a commitment to inclusivity, including people who don't have the same experiences that we have in life. Because if we try to be exclusive and we forget about this commitment and little by little fall into our old ways, what's going to happen is that we're going to end up alone. If you want to be surrounded by people who are like you, you're going to end up alone because nobody's like you. And then the last thing I have for you is this word that I love, resilience. Jesus walks, or rather rides a donkey into Jerusalem, knowing what the end of that ride is going to be. He knows that the times that are coming are terrible. He's going to be judged. He's going to be condemned. He's going to be killed. He knows that. And yet he does it. Yet he comes. Maybe the advice of the disciples would have been, don't go there. They're trying to kill you there. But he said, I know what I have to do. And he came anyways. Difficult times were coming, and he showed resilience. He showed that his commitment did not wane. So he walks, he rides on the donkey into Jerusalem. I wish I could stand here and tell you everything will be great. Everything will be perfect. Your future, first of all, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know anything about your future. But if I did, I'm sure what I would see in that ball would be, you will have some difficulties. If you have young children, they will become teenagers. If you are past, I don't know, 50 or 60, you're not going back to the days when you had all the full energy. Life is difficult, full of good things, but also full of difficulties. This is a mix, and nobody can escape that. Can I guarantee you that you will be healthy for life? I can't. I wish I could. In many churches, they do. If you want one of those churches, by all means, go to them. They say, if you believe in Jesus, you will be healthy. You will be healed. You will not be sick. We rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. If you want to go there, go there. I've been there myself. You know, it's not true. The truth is that life is difficult and difficult times come our way. I wish I could tell you the world is going on an upward spiral and we're going to be so great, the nation, there won't be any more wars and the nations will be friendly to each other and the wealthy nations will help the poor nations to come up to their level in. And everybody will cooperate and everybody will have electric cars and they will be so cheap that everybody will afford them and everybody will have a home and the housing crisis will be over in this country. And I wish I could tell you that. You don't know how much I wish. But I have a commitment to God, not to life from this place, from this spot here. So I cannot tell you that either. What I can tell you is that we can learn from Jesus to face difficulties with resilience. And that when we walk into difficult times, we are not traveling alone. He has been there first. And we are not traveling alone because we are traveling with each other. We are traveling with each other. That's what church really means. Perhaps relationships and the creation of community, the sense of community, is the most important thing we do as a church. Because then we can hold hands and walk together. Then we can lock arms and be together in the community speaking truth. Then we can be transformed and agents of transformation. So, to conclude, let's be agents of transformation, bringing healing and hope. This is what Jesus did. Riding on a donkey with all humility, making a commitment to the poor, the disenfranchised, the downtrodden. Making a feast for all those who never had anything to celebrate. He brought hope and healing to the people. The Pharisees, the powerful, they were concerned because now, look, everybody's after him. Everybody's following him. I wish to see the day when in our communities across America, across the world, people will follow the lead of God in such a way that the powerful, the oppressors, have to go into that a dark room and cry out because everybody is following the leading of God. Let me pray. Pray with me. Dear God, we thank you today for having this celebration of Palm Sunday. We thank you because one day you decided to become one of us, and as one of us, you sat on a donkey and went to the center of power to defy those powers and to find your demise. But we know that even though this is a remembrance of the worst week of your life, it ends with life. So we thank you for that. Help us to ride that donkey with you in the way we approach each other and the whole community. And I pray in the name of the one who having all power, he didn't consider that power as a thing to hold on to, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.